When I left at the end of 1991, there was about 5,000 people using it. Most of that growth came either from the word-of-mouth process, viral, but also we got newspaper stories, got mentioned in the press. We got a really nice story in the New York Times in 1987, I think, or 8. And so it went. We got press, and I think people came to us that way. It never grew really huge, partly because it was actually rather difficult to use. The software was very sophisticated in what it would do for you in terms of conversations, but it was hard to learn. It didn't have a graphical interface. You had to have an instruction book to tell you how to do things. You wouldn't be able to remember it all. You know, there was a lot of people who were like, oh, man, that's too hard. I don't want to do that. They didn't see the benefit. They didn't have either a social or a professional need that would be served by such a thing. In those days, not everybody had a computer. Not everybody used one, or they didn't use it. The idea of communicating through a computer. I mean, I used to go around, try to encourage people. I would go to these computer fairs, but I would also, you know, give talks. People would invite me to give a talk about it. You know, here's some cutting edge thing. And a lot of times I had to tell people what email was because they didn't even know what it was. Like, what? You know, what? It's an instant written messaging service, like mail, but it's not mail. I mean, you know, you had to explain it. Now everybody gets all that and they assume it. But back then that wasn't true. So it was self-selecting.
So it was a type of avant-garde group.
It was. The phrase .com hadn't even been invented yet as a protocol. So, I mean, none of that was going on. One of the groups that was big at the beginning were fans of the Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead wasn't just a band. It represented a certain outlook of personal freedom and all the values of the counterculture. You know, all that sort of represented. And so they would go on these road tours and have these big concerts where people would come and it was like the Renaissance Fair or something. People would go and kind of recreate for a night or three nights this mythical countercultural lifestyle, even if at the end of it they would go back home and then go to work next Monday. They had such a devoted following, and a lot of the people who liked the Grateful Dead are very accomplished people. Professional people, people who just love that kind of music and that kind of jamming and the kind of mental freedom that comes with it. Suddenly they had this way to communicate constantly. And so it was like a community within the community. And a lot of these people were so versatile in the way that they could communicate. They had curiosity and interest and a lot more professionals. And so naturally, they would start going out and exploring the other parts of this communication community like everybody else. It not only was a couple of hundred people at least who would do this and enrich the whole community, but they also would pay their bill. And they used it a lot. In the very early days, we didn't have much money. It cost like $8 a month and $2 an hour. We had metered time. And a lot of these people would rack up a lot of time. They had pretty high bills to pay, and they were happy to do it. It was very important. They were important to the economy of the business, and they were important contributions to the richness of the culture that we were developing. And there were other groups as well, although I would say mostly it was individuals.
When you got onto your computer, you were connected through your telephone. How could you find the different groups you were interested in? I mean, the different topics or...
You would dial the number, and then pretty soon on your screen it would say login and password, and then you would go there, and then it would give you a screen that would say welcome, and you would have to know to type a command. It would then give you a screen of saying here are the different discussion areas, and here's what you have to type to go there. And you could make an automatic list. The manual would tell you how to do this. So people would sign up, and we'd send them the manual. At first, it was Matthew by himself. Then it was Matthew and me. And then it was Cliff and me. And then we hired a bookkeeper. And then we hired a system administrator. But I was there for 2 years, maybe three, but at least 2 years, where I was not just the marketing person and the guy in the community, but I was the person who answered the phone. And people would say, well, I want to know how to do something. I'm the one that would tell them. I was giving the phone support, which also forced me to get good at computer use pretty quickly. But that was another way that I tried to grow it, market it, so that people would say, not only does it have all of these wonderful social and intellectual benefits, the people are really helpful there. They'll make it easy for you. They'll make it work for you. And so I also talked on the telephone a lot, and that happened because people didn't really know. It was not easy to use.
I really would like to know what you think of the social networks we're having today. I mean, what you are telling sounds, you know, very enthusiastic and very hopeful.
I think we're in a wonderful period right now because anything you want is available now. Back then, there was very few choices. Now, any kind of interaction with another person you can think of is available to you in one form or another. A lot of the way the networks now is advertising driven. In exchange for not giving money, you have to give up other things. Take Facebook, for example. You have to give up a lot about your own identity because they're watching you very carefully and noting your patterns. But also, you give up very much ability to actually influence how the product works or how the company relates to the customers, because in an advertising environment, if you're the user, you are not the customer. You're part of the product. The customer is the advertiser. That is a very important distinction. At the same time, there are online communities of every type. Some of them, I think, use the word community. Community is a very broad term. It can mean anything you want. It can mean any gathering of any group of people for any reason at any time, really. You can call it a community. There are a lot of so-called online communities that are really basically product support entities. Although, even then, it is possible that people can find ways to connect with each other, even when it's just in the world of product support. But also, there are online communities that are support groups, breast cancer networks, people with various diseases and health problems, people who love certain types of technology, people who play games, the gamers, I mean, all of that. And the well's still going. If you want to have deep conversations, that didn't go away. You can have that. You got Facebook, which is giant, but Facebook is really about reinforcing existing relationships. Any kind of online community you want is out there right now in some kind of form. I think that's wonderful.
The customer spends the content, which makes the project.
The customer makes the content. That's right. And I used to say, in some ways, we were like running a campground. We provide the tables and the sink and the bathroom and the place to park and all that. And the people bring the food. The people bring the stuff. But it did get into some very interesting issues of ownership. Stuart Brand is one of the great phrase makers. And so he came up with this phrase, "You own your own words," which was designed to say you take responsibility for what you say, not us. And it's still that way.
Didn't he also say information must be free, or is it really half of something he said?
He said information wants to be expensive, information wants to be free. And it does, depending on who owns it. That's a lot of what the laws they're making now and the governance of the online world, electronic communications, the net, mobile, all of that has to do with ownership of the products, especially because so much of it now is music, photographs, video, all that kind of stuff. The internet is just this gigantic sharing device. When we were making an advertisement or something like that, if we ever quoted somebody, we would always ask their permission first because we assumed that they were the owners of their own copyright.